listeners, Nicole Olstead here with Sharon Gamble on the Sweet Selah Moments podcast. We are so pleased you found us. Sharon and I pray that these episodes encourage you to learn alongside us how to be still and get to know the God who loves you with unfailing love. In this season, we are studying the stories of Jesus and his encounters with women. Today, in episode 159, called When There's Too Much to Do, we are talking about Peter's mother-in-law and a particularly busy day in the life of Jesus. Sharon, tell us about today's stories and where we can find her encounter with Jesus.
I love how many times women show up, even if they don't get names.
Yeah.
I would have liked Peter's mother-in-law's name, but
make
that
it easier
was
to
not
say.
Given. But it just is so much fun to have these little vignettes where it's like, oh my goodness, you took time out of that day, you know, kind of thing. So we're going to learn about this mother-in-law of Peter's today. And it's scriptures found in Luke chapter 4, verses 31 to 41. And I'm going to read it. And then you're going to read a little section afterwards because it's relevant to the too busy part. Mm. That's my part sort of on the mother-in-law itself and what happened before.
Okay.
Then Jesus went to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and taught there in the synagogue every Sabbath day. There, too, the people were amazed at his teaching, for he spoke with authority. Once, when he was in the synagogue, a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit, cried out, shouting, "Go away! Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus reprimanded him, "Be quiet. Come out of that man," he ordered. And at that, the demon threw the man to the floor as the crowd watched. Then it came out of him without hurting him further. Amazed, the people exclaimed, "What authority and power this man's words possess! Even evil spirits obey him and they flee at his command." The news about Jesus spread through every village in the entire region. After leaving the synagogue that day, Jesus went to Simon's home, where he found Simon's mother-in-law very sick with a high fever. "Please heal her," everyone begged. Standing at her bedside, he rebuked the fever and it left her. And she got up at once and prepared a meal for them. As the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. No matter what their diseases were, the touch of his hand healed every one. Many were possessed by demons, and the demons came out at his command, shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But because they knew he was the Messiah, he rebuked them and refused to let them speak.
This is exciting. There's a lot in this passage.
There's so much.
So before we dive in, I'm going to read Luke 4, 42 through 44. So early the next morning, Jesus went out to an isolated place. The crowd searched everywhere for him, and when they finally found him, they begged him not to leave them. But he replied, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns, too, because that is why I was sent." So he continued to travel around, preaching in synagogues throughout Judea.
There we go. So that's kind of like the whole story. That's Jesus' day, from throwing out a demon to Simon's mother-in-law to everybody in the village showing up, you know, the whole day. But we're going to just focus for a little bit on the woman's story, which is Peter's mother-in-law to start with. What have you gleaned from this little tiny vignette about her?
That little line. I was just thinking, I hate being sick. I hate it so much. And it always seems to happen during an especially busy time when I have lots to do and lots to get done. And so I kind of feel for her, you know, on top of feeling miserable and being stuck in bed, you kind of like, I hear my family bustling around and just not doing things well, not being able to find things, not losing things, not making the food properly, the things that I just know the tricks to.
Yes.
I know the secret ingredients. I know where that pot is. I know where their volleyball shorts are. So I just, it's so frustrating. You feel so helpless to sit there and just hear the hustle and bustle around you. So I just think that's so sweet that he comes in and he sees her sick and they're like, "Please heal her." And he rebukes her fever and up she gets, and she gets right to cooking and to getting back to what she had to get done.
She was super healed.
She was very healed.
I don't normally heal that rapidly. Usually
I've never healed that quickly.
I feel better, but then it's a gradual return for strength.
Yes.
But she is like, you know, very, very sick, high fever too. "May I cook you all dinner?"
Right. So that's kind of, it was a very profound thorough healing.
It was. It really, really was. And you're right. It was an important day for her. The Messiah was at the house for dinner with 11 guys. And as we talked last week, random women.
Oh, that's
like
true.
Like Johanna and Susanna and Mary Magdalene, assuming they were with them. I mean, there were lots of people to feed, and she's stuck in bed.
Right. And you think about, I always worry about getting other people sick too when I'm sick. And if she had a severe fever and that he had to rebuke it to get it, I just wonder, this might have been a really severe illness and maybe she would have died.
She sure could have. High fevers. I mean, they didn't have all the medicines we have nowadays. It could have been super serious.
Right.
And it's so sweet that everybody wanted her healed.
I know.
They must have liked her.
Yeah.
Right? Right.
That is sweet that they yeah. Come heal her, Jesus, quickly.
Yeah. Although, after what you commented on, it's like maybe they don't know where the utensils are and they can't cook.
They're all really hungry going, oh, no, we need her.
We don't know where anything is.
Right. It's like if mom gets sick before Thanksgiving, it's like, uh-oh, we're in trouble.
The other thing that's interesting is he healed on the Sabbath. Now, the rest of the people came after sundown when Sabbath was over.
Oh.
But he came home after synagogue and he healed her then in the middle of Sabbath.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah. So she was precious enough and needed him enough that smack dab in the riddle of, you know, don't do any work.
Right.
Jesus chose to do good.
Oh, that's
isn't that sweet?
So he didn't just heal her because he was hungry either, because she couldn't have cooked during the Sabbath. So
there you go. It would have been the next day.
Right.
Or maybe, I think they could bring out the food that they'd already prepared. I don't know. Yeah. The other thing that's interesting is that Peter was married.
Yes.
I think that's so fascinating because The Chosen, that show that, you know, kind of imagines the disciples' lives, flesh out Peter's wife for us. And they do a good job of showing why it's probably good most of the disciples were not married, in that it was a very tricky life. I mean, they were following Jesus around the countryside.
Right.
They were not fishing. They were not bringing in an income.
Right.
I wonder if some of the money that the rich women were giving was actually given to this wife of Peter.
Oh, yeah.
Because she needed to live.
Right.
Right? Right. And she also had to say goodbye to her husband for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I don't know if have you had to do that with Josh?
Honestly, I think I've left him the longest. I went away for a week once for a conference in between two of our kiddos. So he only had one little one to watch. But that's the longest we've been apart, is only a week. So I really can't complain much.
Yeah.
I know you've had big stretches
Big stretches of times. And unexpected stretches, like I suspect Peter's wife had.
Yeah.
You know,
you weren't planning on it. Yeah. You didn't stock up an extra money or extra fish or,
no.
You know.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, the paycheck did still come in. But the worst was I wanted so badly to have a vacation just with Ray because we always went home to see our parents, you know, and they were in the same area. And of course we wanted to see our parents. I love my parents and I loved all my friends back home. But that year I just had kind of, it was before kids, BK. I said, I want a vacation just us.
Yeah.
And I can't remember how it came about, but somehow we knew somebody on Virginia Beach who would have a place for us to stay, so it wouldn't have been as expensive. So we booked there. We had it all lined up. Nicole, I was so excited. Just Ray and me on vacation. We're going to Virginia Beach. It's so fun. You know, and at 2 a.m. Of the morning we were to leave, he got the call that he had to immediately deploy, basically.
Oh, no.
He had to grab his rucksack and, you know, it always had to be packed.
Yeah.
Always. And it was a training exercise. It wasn't even real, Nicole.
Oh, no.
It wasn't even like there was a crisis. They were practicing.
That's even worse.
And so by 2:15, he was gone.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's that fast. It
and
really
there,
is.
All your plans are ruined. There's nothing you can do about it. You
nothing.
Can't congo, but we had vacation plans.
Yeah, nobody cared.
How rude of them.
I can remember when I first learned that was first year of marriage. Ray was supposed to come to my college graduation.
Yeah.
We had married. I had one semester left. I did the work at University of Maryland and transferred it back to Gordon College.
Nice.
And he was supposed to come to my graduation, but there was a crisis and he was going to be away for 3 months. And I said, can't you tell them it's my graduation? And Ray, who is nothing if not clear, literally said, "Sharon, no one cares." I burst into tears. I hope you care. He said, "Of course I care, but I'm just trying to tell you."
But the military does not.
They cannot care. If they cared, no one would ever go anywhere because there'd always be something.
That's a great point.
And we need all the people. So anyways, I don't know what it was like to be Peter's wife, but I expect that there were times when it was really hard being Peter's wife. Yeah. He wouldn't be there. And the money source for her would have been uncertain, although I know our Jesus who provides, and I suspect that through the women, that the rich women that we talked about last week, this woman was provided for.
Yeah.
The fact that her mother-in-law was in Peter's house is interesting, too. Did the mama move in because Peter wasn't there all the time, or was she always there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or did he have to provide for her as well because she didn't have anyone else to look after
her? Well, that's true. Then he has that provision as well.
Yeah. Or was she able to be supportive? Yeah. So we don't really know that part.
No, we don't. But we do know they were there a while because it does say that he taught in the synagogue every Sabbath day, which means... I mean, it doesn't tell me how long, but it means it wasn't just they stopped by for a quick visit.
Right.
He was in that synagogue every Sunday.
Right. Well,
not Sunday. Sharon.
Our Sunday.
Sabbath.
There.
Every Sabbath. So, so he was there a while, which means for that period of time, Peter's wife, Peter's mother-in-law, got to know the Messiah.
Oh, that's neat.
And I feel like that would have helped
when
then they started going all over the other places. Don't you think?
I wonder if he did that intentionally, stayed there so they could know. Because that it is really hard when your spouse gets excited or passionate about something that you have no idea about. You're just not getting on board with it. And they're researching it and they're spending all this time. And you're going, I don't get it. Why do we need a battery backup for the entire house? And he's like, I don't. It's a lot of money. You know, they get all excited about something. Yeah. You're like, okay. But then if you sometimes Josh will show me a video about something. Or if you kind of catch... You get informed, you get to know more about it. It's like, oh, I see what's drawing you. Okay, that's worth the investment. Thanks for taking the time to show me. So I wonder if Jesus was doing, because I think that's the only disciple that was married, right?
The only one where a wife is mentioned.
That
that's
we're aware
for sure.
of, That would have made him a little bit unique in that way.
Yes, And so how cool that they spent time there.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
That is really sweet. So they could have been part of it too and understand what they were sacrificing their husband and son-in-law for, really.
And then, of course, later on that evening, he's healing every single person that comes to the door, and it was apparently the entire village. So they also saw the power of Jesus. So so I think that was a gift to them. I agree with you.
That is special time. What a special time for them.
Yeah. And boy, didn't we get a lot out of one sentence?
I know.
Or really the whole passage.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Okay, well now we're gonna talk to Jesus' story, which is more about busy day, really. At least when I looked at it, I couldn't believe all he fit into that day. So what did you learn about Jesus? First about the healing, but then also just about him and how he handles busyness.
I think it's really neat. I had been reading something in another passage. When people called out spirits back then, they had to really conjure and work up and do a lot of things. Or even the disciples, when they called out demons, they had to call the name of the Lord to release people from these demons. And for Jesus just to walk up and rebuke the demons and then come out, people were like, who is this man? Like, wait a minute, he didn't put on a great show and do this big trickery. They knew who he was and he kicked him out. So that was really interesting to see that part and to kind of understand what a remarkable sight that would have been.
Yes.
And how profound it would have been for the people watching this happen. Like, this really is somebody different and special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he really must be something.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if all of them knew he was the Messiah or just, some of them probably did. And some of them were like, oh, a new trick. Heal my sick person, please.
Yes.
So that was kind of neat. And then I really, later on when, after he was really busy, and him going to find time with God in an isolated place, it just makes me think that Jesus, who was God incarnate, in flesh, he couldn't walk this earth without regular quiet time with God. So how in the world can I even try to do that daily? And I love, again, that he modeled it. He could have just told us, spend time with God, you need it. And he could have been fine.
Uh-huh.
But he always takes the time to show us and to live out what he wants us to do. And I love that about him.
Isn't that beautiful?
Like, this is how I did it. You can do it too. And you can't complain because this was a busy day. We're like, well, my days are way busier than Jesus's days. I do not have people coming to me every minute, finding me in my quiet place and dragging me out going, heal this one now. Do this for me now.
Exactly. Yeah, just getting away was hard. And, right. You know, he would have been justified in sleeping in.
Right.
He got up before dawn, which means he got very little sleep. Mm. And that has helped me a lot, too, because sometimes, you know, getting up early to be with him feels hard. Mm. But Jesus basically thought losing sleep was worth it because being with God was that important.
Yeah.
You know, so I try to think the same way. Mm. No matter how important sleep is, being with God is more so. You know, I mean, not that I need to get up at 2 a.m. and spend 17,000 hours with him, but I can't say, well, I just need an extra 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. No, what that extra 15 minutes of sleep would be better spent doing if it's the only 15 I have is being with him. Mm. There's a rest that doesn't come from sleep, but comes from quieting a soul before the living God that is also beautiful. Mm-hmm. So the other thing that was fun to me was he goes away, right? There's still tons of people to heal. Mm-hmm. There's still lots to be done there. People are still looking for him and saying, I didn't get here last night, but my little boy, you know, all these crises, I've just made that one up, but you know, all these crises. But he didn't listen to all the neediness. Mm-hmm. He listened to one voice, and that was God's. And God told him to go somewhere else.
Right. Ooh, that's a good point. Because can't we get overwhelmed with, in our humanity, our heart breaks to see the neediness, but the neediness never ends. And if we get bogged down with that and lose sight of lose hearing God's voice, we could miss out on what he ultimately is trying to do.
Absolutely. Nobody can meet all the needs of the world. We cannot.
Yeah.
Jesus in a body could not because he chose to limit himself to a human body where he could be in one place in time and space. Mm. We need to discern who's mine. Who's the one you need me to minister to? And sometimes that's a no to do another yes. And I used to get so trapped in the I should.
Yes.
Oh, I should. You know, if I could, I should. But not every I should is from the Lord. In fact, a lot of the I shoulds come from false guilt and the fact that because I could meet a need, that meant I had to be the one to do it. And I think I robbed other people of an ability to do it because I am sort of aggressive. So if I took it, they wouldn't.
Right.
But if I didn't, maybe they would.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really like the fact that he went away in the middle of being very needed, got alone with the Father, heard the marching orders, which was, I need to go now to other villages.
Yeah.
And then left.
And he did. What struck me too was it wasn't just he kind of got up earlier and sat in the living room. Like he had to go a little bit. He had to find an isolated place.
He didn't even, I mean, and I complain about having to walk to the couch with a cup of tea.
I was thinking that, like, but it's so cold in the morning. He's like, I don't want to go downstairs, Lord. And here Jesus had to like find a quiet place.
Yes.
Because by that point, if he had been there for a while, people recognized him.
Oh,
they knew.
Oh,
and I'm sure word gets around quick if you're healing the dead or, you know, healing the sick and casting out demons. They know who you are.
And everybody's at the synagogue, right? So they all saw that the day before.
That's true, yeah.
So word was getting around.
So he had to hunt for that quiet time.
He had to hunt.
But
tired.
It was that important.
That was that important. Mm. And I think we don't realize just how essential it is. And you know how we're going to have the Living Water Conference coming up. And our slogan is Jesus and water, both essential for life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we quite grasp how essential to our spiritual well-being is drinking in living water daily.
Yeah,
we need physical water daily. Actually, we need it more than once a day.
Right.
Right? So we definitely need to be with him if we're going to behave with any kind of fruit of the Spirit at all.
Oh, yeah.
I default to selfishness in a nanosecond.
Yep.
I just do.
Instantly without him. If I'm not talking with him or starting my day with like, hey, Lord, today is your day. It always is a mess. I just kind of like start out trying to muscle my way through and remember to be nice. And I always forget within moments and then go, oh, yeah. Hi, God.
Hello.
Can you help me be nice, please?
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, my goodness. It also reminds me of the importance of our Sila days.
Yeah.
You know, because every time, Nicole, that I have a Sila day, I have other things I should be doing, the yes. should be's.
Yep.
And yet I've made it a priority that I will. I mean, for crying out loud, I see my friends. Why can't I spend 3 hours with Jesus?
Yeah.
You know, why is that so impossible? It shouldn't be.
But it feels sometimes.
Doesn't it?
When I think Satan puts little things to that, because it's such a vital part to our relationship with Christ, that alone time to just be still so we can hear him for a while. I am always talking to Jesus.
Right.
I'm not always listening to Jesus.
This is true. There's a big difference.
There is. Yeah. And it's hard to hear him when you're always running around. But that sitting with him for a prolonged period of time is so important. It's so important to hear for a while what he has to say to me, not to everyone else or my friend or the thing I heard on the radio or my podcast. What does God need to tell me today?
Yes, yes, yes. And it is good for our souls to slow down. That we live in a culture that values busy, values doing, values looking effective.
Yes, yes. Looking
all the things. Whether we are or not.
Right.
Looking effective. But the slowing down of a soul, sometimes it takes a good hour just for me to be quiet enough to hear and to still my mind and get it off of all the chores and the things that I ought to, should to be doing.
Yeah.
And just say, no, this is what I need to be doing. I need to be listening. If he's real, and he is, and he loves me, and he does, and what he wants most from me is to love him with all my heart, then he values this time too. So anyways, Jesus kind of took a short seal of time, and when anybody in their right mind would forgive him for sleeping late, and was with God, and then from that was told to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool. Okay. Our story. So why don't you go first today? What story do you have to tell that kind of relates to this lesson?
Yeah, I took a little bit of it was an interesting story. I was sitting there asking God about it, and he brought to mind, he's been teaching me during my periods of sickness to embrace the rest more when I'm sick instead of fretting and trying to get better sooner.
Now, that's interesting.
Yeah, because instead of, I was just thinking about the mother-in-law and just lying there in bed and hearing all those people. And I hate being sick. I hate feeling ineffective. I hate just being in that state of not able to love and to serve the people that I love. And God is revealing to me it's a bit of a pride issue, too. Of just, well, the world will stop turning if I'm not. It hasn't yet. I need to get over myself. But instead, I've been turning those prolonged periods of not feeling well just into prayer time, either for other people, because I still want to feel productive, right? But also, even that, he's still like, no, just talk to me. It's become Sila moments. It becomes Sila time.
Yeah.
I always think of it as almost like a stolen Sila moment because I haven't set aside time for it. And then if I am sick, it's like, well, I can't do much else, Lord. And he's taking it during sometimes, because it's neurological, I can't watch TV. I can't listen to things. Reading is really hard. Looking at my phone, those really bother and make my pain a lot worse. So I can't do anything.
You really can't.
I literally sit on the couch. It's me and God. So I find that I could really be miserable about that. Or I could say, okay, God, this is a beautiful opportunity for me to be still with you because I really can't do anything else. And I'm sorry you're my last choice. I was really trying to listen to that, but he's so kind. He never gives me a hard time for turning to him last.
No. He loves you.
Some of my most beautiful prayer times in the past 2 years have been during those times of sickness. Just amazing prayer time that I never would have experienced had I not just been him and I. Nothing else. No distractions. We're never not effective. We're never not loved. Wherever we are, whatever moment we're in, he just finds us. And he can do so much within that little offering I give him. Like my mind space at that point, like just inhabit my thoughts. And he does. And it's so beautiful. So I've been finding that I'm not as grumpy usually about those moments because he meets me there.
He meets you there. Mm. And you don't even have to have profound prayers, which neurologically you probably cannot.
They're pretty basic.
Yes. But you're there. You're there. And that's why, you know, a Sila day isn't just go paint your nails, right?
Right.
It's the day where you are actively knowing you want to be with him, whatever that looks like. I can remember before Dad Gamble came to live with us, and I was trying to live in two houses, you know, take care of me and Ray 3 days a week, then go stay with Dad Gamble 3 to 4 days a week in a, you know, another place of, you know, an hour away from home. I had to have clothing both places, all the stuff. It was really, really hard. And I can remember one night being just so exhausted. But like beyond tired, I couldn't even sleep. My heart was beating fast and it just, nothing was going well. And it was one of those nights where all I could say was, help. Mm. I mean, that I had no words. Mm-hmm. And he came. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to be profound. Mm. I didn't have to be lengthy.
Nope.
I just had to say help.
I know. Just look, like turning like that old hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Yes.
Like just looking to him and going, I'm drowning right now.
Yes.
I'm a mess.
Yes.
I'm whatever. And he just holds us.
He does. He does. He does. I love that the greatest commandment isn't about doing.
Oh, thank you.
The greatest commandment is, could you love me?
Yeah.
That's what he wants most. Mm. And love means spending time with him.
Yep.
So there we are. Yeah, yeah.
That.
So, well, my story is just about the Sabbath thing that I do because this was all about Sabbath. And it says both parts of it. It says the part that says you should set aside, you know, a period of time where you don't do the normal things.
Yeah.
But then he did cast out a demon during Sabbath and heal a sick lady.
That's so funny.
During. So that's why I've always called it Sabbath thing, because I want to keep Sabbath. I feel convicted by that myself. I don't look down my nose on people who don't. There's verses in Hebrews that seem to indicate that we're sort of in a permanent Sabbath once we come to Christ. I see the spiritual argument for that too. But I like Sabbath and I'm keeping it. But it has to not be legalistic.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody needs me desperately in the middle of it, I can't say, well, you'll have to wait till sundown.
Right.
So sorry, your car's broken down. Just sit there for 5 hours, right?
Right. Ray cuts his finger. Well, just stop bleeding and we'll go in 2 more hours.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. But the idea of sundown to sundown made all the difference for me. I tried so hard to just do it all day Sunday.
Yeah.
It never worked.
No.
It just didn't. The girls would have, because I did it when they were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
The girls would always need me on a Sunday night. I would need to get ready for the next work week. And I'm like, I'm failing again. I tried so hard to be ready on Saturday until I finally, the Jewish people don't do that either.
Yeah.
They stop at sundown and they start again at sundown. So you're actually working every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that works for me so much better. I kind of quit. It's not always sundown, but, you know, after supper on Saturday night. And then I don't start up again till supper time on Sunday night. And that flow, I can't believe the difference. It's really easier.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
So, but it can never be legalistic either.
Yeah.
But that rest on Sunday where I just do crossword puzzles, read books, you know, stare at the ceiling, even though it's sometimes boring, I think gives me the energy to do the rest of my week.
Yes. Well, we're busy women with lots of energy. We need moments of boredom sometimes and stillness. I think our bodies need to remember to be in a more calm state. We need that.
We need it.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
I highly recommend Sabbathing.
It sounds so lovely. I do too.
The end.
The end.
And I better pray. We're out of time. Oh, Father God, thank you for the example we have in the Lord Jesus Christ who took on flesh and dwelt among us. Help us to be more and more like him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. How do you find time with God when you are busy? We would love to know. Email us at nicole@sweetsila.org. And while you're at it, ask to join our podcast partners newsletter. If this podcast was a blessing to you, it would mean the world to us if you shared it or wrote a review. We would also super appreciate a donation of any size to help keep this podcast ad-free. You can donate at sweetsila.org/donation. And please join us next time for episode 160. Take care, friends. Oh, love, pay the ransom.